Hey, friend, it's Thursday. This is the Love Your Bible podcast, because if you love your Bible, you will love God, serve people, and live a life that matters. Isn't it good news, seeing the rich and redeemed, seeing sin's filth washed clean, seeing enslaved men free. We've been justified, we're being sanctified. Hey, speaking of living a life that matters, I mean, hopefully most of us want to do that, right? You want to have a life that means something, that impacts people, leaves a legacy, leaves a mark. I mean, I doubt most of us say, I don't want to live a meaningful life. Like, most of us want to live a life that means something, that is impactful. But how do you get to that place? So we're going to learn from a guy named John the Baptist, and we're going to see that the secret to living a really great life is actually in becoming less in the life you have now. Like, we think it's the opposite, right? When it comes to the world, we are taught very young that we need to dream big, climb every mountain, do every endeavor, build great things, do great things. And the more fame we get, the more people that know us, the greater we get wherever we are, the more influence we have, well, the more important we'll be and the happier we will be. Like, that's where joy comes from. Joy is about getting really big. Joy is about increasing your life, increasing your influence, increasing your bank account, increasing everything. But we're going to see that John the Baptist is going to say, no, his joy is complete because he's actually decreasing. He's actually becoming less. And so we're going to see the joy of becoming less. And so if you have your Bibles, we are in John chapter 3. We've been in John chapter 3 for like several weeks now, but I just can't get away from it. Such a good chapter of Scripture. And now we're going to turn from Jesus and Nicodemus to John the Baptist and what he says about Jesus. I'm just going to begin reading verse 22. Here's what it says. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into Judea countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John was also baptizing because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not even been put in prison. So you have this scene, John's baptizing some people, Jesus comes, he's baptizing some people, and then we pick up in verse 25. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification, and they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to him who you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." Now, John's disciples, they are in panic mode here because, man, they're following John. And John is like the guy at this point. I mean, all of Israel, they're all coming out to John. He's this guy from the wilderness. He comes out, starts talking about repentance, and like everybody knows John at this point. He is an influencer. Everybody knows his name. They know his message. They're coming to get baptized. He is a big deal. Like, he's got the blue check mark on Twitter. Like, he's an influencer. Everybody's looking to him. So if you're one of John's disciples, you also have some influence. You're an important person. Your status is growing just because you know John. And so John's doing his thing. He's baptizing, that thing that made him famous, made him popular, got all his followers. And all of a sudden, the disciples come up to him and they're like, "Hey, teacher, hey, rabbi, you know that Jesus guy? Everybody's going to him. Like, he's baptizing like you're baptizing, but everyone's going to him now. They're all leaving you." So you got to understand the situation. John, who has he's a celebrity right now. He's got all this fame. Everyone knows about him. Everyone knows his name. Everyone's going to him. He's like this new prophet that's hit the stage. And all of a sudden, he's losing his crowd. He's losing his influence. All the people that he gained to himself, they're all now going to Jesus. So his Twitter follower count, it's going down. He's losing his check mark. His status, the things that he's saying, nobody's paying attention to anymore because now they're paying attention to Jesus. So the disciples are obviously panicked. Hey, John, that Jesus guy, everyone's going to him. And by the way, they're all leaving you. So this is a threat to John's success, legacy, future, influence, empire. Like, he's the guy, and now he's losing all of his influence. So verse 27, here's how John responds. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. So John, right off the bat, he wants them to understand that any success that he had, it was a gift from God. That nobody becomes famous or has success or does anything good in the kingdom of God apart from God. I mean, he goes right to it. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. So John knew that whatever good came from his life, it was God doing it in and through him. He couldn't take credit for his ministry. He couldn't take credit for what God had done through him. So John understood that his giftedness, his impact, his influence, it's all a gift from God. And if you're going to be a person who truly is humble and who decreases so that the Lord can increase, you have to view all of the good in your life. It's not you. It's not to your credit, but instead it's the grace of God in you. It is for God's glory. It is God's gift that he gave you that you get to use. But when you use your gift and there are good things that come from it, you don't say, wow, look how great I am. No, you say, thank God who gave me this gift that now is being used. To God be the glory. See, John knew that he had a gift and that any good from him came from that gift. And so he wanted to make sure that everyone knew this is not my thing. This is God's thing from the very beginning. And then it goes on in verse 28 and he says, you yourselves bear me witness that I said. So I've already told you this. I was already priming you for this. Here's what John had previously said. I am not the Christ. So he's saying, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one promised from the Old Testament. And then he goes on, but I have been sent before him. So John is not the Christ. He told him up front, I'm not the one you've been waiting for. I'm the one sent before him. I'm the one sent who's going to draw attention to me so that you'll look at me and then ultimately see him. You will see the Christ who is to follow me. So my job is to show you the Christ. I'm not the Christ. And then he gives this little analogy. He says, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So John, he uses this marriage illustration and he says, look, the one who the bride belongs to is the bridegroom. So he's using that analogy to say, okay, all of the people of Israel, they're like a bride waiting for their groom. And John says, I want you to remember, I'm not the groom. You're waiting for a groom and I'm not him. Instead, I'm the friend of the groom. I'm like the best man. And you know what the best man's job is at a wedding? It's to make sure the bride finds the groom and the groom finds the bride. Like the point of the best man, the point of those people that are standing beside the groom and the bride, they're all about who? The bride and the groom. Like, could you imagine in a scenario that if you go to a wedding and as the bride walks down the aisle, that right when she gets to that point where her dad's going to give her away, can you imagine the best man jumping in front of the groom and taking the bride's hand and then pulling her up on stage in front of the preacher? How awkward would that be? That would be completely wrong, completely out of place, because That's not what the best man does. That's not what the friend of the groom does. No, the friend of the groom makes sure the bride gets to the groom. He doesn't stand in the way. He doesn't steal the spotlight. And that's what John is trying to say. I'm not the one people need to see. I'm not the one who needs the spotlight. People need to see the groom, and the groom is Jesus. I'm just the friend who introduces the bride to the groom. I'm just the friend who makes sure the bride actually sees the groom and marries the groom, and they have a great wedding. See, the point of the friend is to point to the groom and to enjoy the celebration. And that's what John knows his place in the kingdom of God is. People need the groom. People need Jesus. That's John's mission. That's what he's about. He wants to point people to Jesus, so he knows if people are coming to him, they're coming to the wrong person. They need to come to Jesus, which is what he's going to land on as he finishes out this verse. And he says, therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. So remember what's happening. John's baptizing in water. All these people are coming out to John. John's had great influence. He's had a great ministry. He's like the prophet of old who's came out. There's probably t-shirts with John the Baptist's head on them. I mean, they're probably selling merchandise, little John the Baptist figurines. Like, he is the dude. He has all this success. And now all his success is going away, and every person that he's influenced is now going to Jesus. And he says, this is great. My joy is complete now. I've done my work. I'm happy that everyone who I influence, they are now leaving me and going to Jesus, because that's exactly how it should be. That's what the friend of the groom does when the groom meets up with the bride. He's happy that the bride leaves his side and goes to the groom, because the groom's the one who's going to marry her. The groom's the one who's going to live happily ever after with her. So it's a good thing that people are leaving John, that John's influence is decreasing because they're seeing the one who they're supposed to go to. And then I love this statement. Verse 30, here's what it says. John the Baptist, he says these words, he must increase, but I must decrease. That is one of those little lines that if you can put that in your brain and have it go down into your heart and let it work into your hands and your feet, and if you could live this out, if I could live this out, it would change our lives and it would change the lives of those around us. So notice the first part of this line. The first thing he says is, he must increase. That's Jesus. So if anyone is going to have good come into their life, it only happens by Jesus increasing, by them seeing Jesus, knowing Jesus, hearing about Jesus. So the bigger Jesus gets, the better things get. You just need to know that in your family, the bigger Jesus is, the better everything is. Like, when Jesus increases, everything gets better. People get saved. Marriages get fixed. People get healed. I mean, all these things start happening when Jesus increases to those around us. So the first statement is, Jesus must increase. If the kingdom of God is going to impact the kingdom of this world, Jesus must increase. People must know him and hear about him and experience him if the world's going to be a better place. So the obvious question is, well, how does that happen? How does Jesus increase? Well, very practically, John says, but I must decrease. So he's saying, okay, Jesus, he must increase. Increase for the good of those around me. But at the same time, for Jesus to increase in the lives of the people around me, I have to decrease. Like, do you see what he's saying? He's saying both of us can't win. Both of us can't be famous. Both of us can't increase. No, only one of us can. And the one that must increase is Jesus. And the one who must decrease, it's me. It's John. If Jesus's name is going to be renowned in the waters of the Jordan, John's name has to be out of the question. It has to be out of the picture. You can't have those two fighting over who's going to baptize more people. There can't be competition against the Lord. No, John is saying, I want my name to be removed from this equation. I want the people that are going into the water only knowing one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. He must increase, but I must decrease. You see, John's joy, it comes from Jesus being exalted. And for us as Christians, our true joy only comes when Jesus is exalted in our lives and around our lives. And for Jesus to be exalted, we have to be humbled. For Jesus to increase, we have to decrease. So part of the Christian life is not becoming bigger, it's becoming smaller. It's not having more influence, it's having less influence for your sake, but having more influence for the sake of Christ. And this is a really easy verse to say, oh great, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. But let me tell you, it is a hard verse to live out. I mean, just this week, I had to ask for forgiveness from one of our ministry team leaders because we had some conflict and the root problem was my pride. The root problem was the person did something that I thought I should have done, and it was just me being too big. And when I'm too big, it's a big problem. And what I needed to tell this person is, you know, that was sin on my part. I wanted to increase, and the truth is I need to decrease. Because the only thing that matters in my life and my ministry and the church that I serve at is the name of Jesus, that his mission, that his ministry goes forward. So I'm a person that struggles with this constantly, that in my mind and in my heart, I want to decrease so that Jesus might increase. But there's that little bit of flesh down there that says, yeah, but I also want to make sure that I get credit, that my name's out there. And here's John saying, I could care less. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be famous. I just want to be the guy that points to the guy. And I don't know about you, but that's really what I want for my life. I want to be the guy that points to the guy. And the guy is Jesus Christ. I want to be that friend that points people to the groom. I don't want to be the friend that runs down the aisle and tries to steal the bride from the groom. I don't want to steal the spotlight. I don't want to steal credit. I want people to see Jesus, that everything that is done in my life, ministry, family, that Jesus would increase and that I might decrease. So what about you? What about in your life? Is that a desire of yours? That in your job, in your family, in your hobbies, in your free time, in your thoughts, in the things you watch, I mean, just in all of life, can you say like John, my joy is complete because I want Jesus to increase and I want to decrease? And I want you to think about just practically, how would that happen in your life? Like, I don't know the details of your life, but what would it look like if at work tomorrow you went in not thinking about how can I increase, how can I get more influence, power, and authority, but how could I decrease, how could I serve, how could I be humble, how could I be a servant so that more attention would be brought to the name of Jesus rather than my name? Or what about when you're at home and you're around your family and you're in those moments where you're feeling very selfish and somebody asks you to do something or you're asking somebody others to do something and it's just, you just want your way. What about in that moment if you reminded yourself of what John said? I must decrease. I must humble myself. I must become nothing. I must serve these people because I want the name of Jesus to be famous. I want my family to experience Jesus. I want my doormate to experience Jesus. I want my roommate to experience the love of Christ. So I'm going to decrease because the smaller I get, the bigger Jesus can be in the people around me. See, when Jesus is big, everything is good. When you're big and I'm big, everything is bad. We don't need to be big. We need Jesus to be big in and through us. And he can't be big when we are competing for his place. See, John's not competing. He's not saying, well, how about we come up with a plan to get some of these people to come back to me? No, John says, people are going to Jesus and they're leaving me. Great. That's the plan. And I'm actually happy because my joy is complete when people don't find me, but when people find Jesus through me. At the end of the day, that's the Christian life. It's people finding Jesus through you. That is true joy. And it happens by you decreasing so that Jesus might increase. And you know one way you get Jesus to increase in your own life? It's by loving your Bible. Because when you love your Bible and you search the scriptures and you read it and memorize it and meditate on it and pray it, you'll be reminded of how great Jesus is, and he will become big in your heart. And the bigger Jesus is in your heart, the less you will want yourself and the more you will want Christ. So I hope this episode has helped you just see Jesus and helped you to think about how you can decrease so Jesus might increase. And one of the ways to do that is by loving your Bible. So hope on this Thursday or wherever you're listening to this, whenever you're listening to this, hope you're reminded of the need to love your Bible. Because I think when you love your Bible, you will truly love God, serve people, and live a life that matters. See you next Thursday, friends.